football on off the ball.
We had that one campaign where we played Sweden, Italy. I think we smashed Sweden twice. We played Italy at home, drew, but had a really good game off them, so I knew there was a lot of quality in that team.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Good evening. You're welcome along to Tuesday night's Off the Ball. It's Owen here with you till 10 o'clock tonight. And coming up, we're going to be speaking to Matt Williams from 7:30. He'll be talking about Jack Nienaber and his future at Leinster. He has cast some doubt on whether or not he's going to be at the province next season after a fairly testy encounter with a few print journalists at Leinster's media dealings yesterday. So we'll get stuck into that with Matt from 7:30. From 8 o'clock then, Darren O'Sullivan and Stephen Rochford are going to join us on the line to react to this morning's All-Ireland second round football draw. We'll also be reflecting on the four fixtures that we saw over the course of the weekend. And then between 9 and 10, Dion Fanning and Rich Sholly are on the football show. We'll be doing a deep dive on Arsenal against Paris Saint-Germain. We'll be talking all things Liverpool as well after Arne Slot departed the club on Saturday morning. Our number is 0879 180 180 if you want to get in touch on WhatsApp. Stephen Doyle will be bringing you the news round very shortly. Steve-O, how are you doing?
Good evening.
Dion Fanning has come in early for the news round. Dion, good to see you.
Good to see you, Owen.
And Arthur O'Dea is here as well. Arthur, how's the form?
Grand.
You know, I was coming in here this morning and I was like, wow, the real sort of feedback that I've got in my closed circle from Saturday in Budapest was that, you know, Arsenal may be down, but they play their part in a great Champions League final. Then I ran into a few of my colleagues, namely the three of you here, and all of you rejected that theory straight out of hand.
I was stunned at that theory.
I thought it was facts.
You thought it was facts.
Considered like it just a theory.
Just, you know, accepted fact.
I thought it was a compelling clash of styles.
It was gripping.
Fire versus ice.
Yeah, it was gripping. But I don't see how you could look at how Arsenal played and think that's a great performance there.
Did Arsenal not contribute to how gripping it was?
By refusing to do anything except defend. They shaped it into a certain type of contest. But whether they could have done something different, I guess, is not so much the debate, because I don't think that is Arsenal's nature. Like, they are, you know, that's the way they're going to play under Mikel Arteta. But if they had done something different, what could have changed?
Mm-hmm. Are we not in a run at the moment where the Champions League finals of late have been really underwhelming, or we haven't at least been thrown up with a classic in a Champions League final for so long, and this largely just follows that trend, that all the brilliant Champions League action we've got over the last 10 years have largely been consigned to semi-finals, quarter-finals.
But like, that's the nature of finals, I think, in any code, really, isn't it? And you could say the same about World Cup finals, FA Cup finals, FAI Cup finals, whatever the case may be. They're never generally entertaining. There's, you know, you get the odd one thrown up, that'll provide a bit more entertainment. Real Madrid were involved in a couple over the last decade, but like, by their nature, you know, and especially I think as we get deeper and deeper into the professional age where there's so much riding on it money-wise, and players, I think, are also not just looking for team, success, but individual success, that it's just teams go out now just to do anything to win, and that will, you know, in most cases produce a pretty dull decider, really, you know?
Yeah. Any sort of credence in the argument, Arthur, that Arsenal doing anything to win and taking that to new highs or lows, depending on your point of view, just added a compelling aspect to Saturday?
The circumstances of that game were, it's always compelling. It's grimly compelling last year when PSG put 5 past Inter Milan. It's like, how many could this be? You know, there's it's very hard to have a Champions League final, I feel, that is no, that there's not a very high degree of excitement or in kind of arousal around or whatever way it goes. It's just, I don't know, the watching it was very weird in terms of, it was like one of those training games you see where it's just attackers and defenders. It's like one half of the pitch may as well not be in use. Where it was just kind of the repetitiveness with which it would keep coming back. And I'm not even thinking, we were talking about it, like, and I'm not slagging Arsenal off. And your phrase sounds like that other thing with the scorpion and the frog, isn't it? It's like it's in my nature. I'm not kind of blaming them for that. They did what they thought they would work, and it nearly did work. But does that make it right? And you don't want to get too moral about it or too kind of uppity or whatever.
What is right?
But like, I feel at this thing, it's not, sorry, and the last thing I'll say, we were saying before, it's not like, just because Arsenal have had no real meaningful European success, they're not a minnow. You know, it's not like these are two extremely wealthy teams, and maybe the disparity and whatever the thing is, but like, they're two teams that theoretically could be on a level, say where you saw with Klopp's Liverpool against Guardiola's City, where one team is far more sort of festooned with money. You're all of such a level that you can kind of, it bears out somewhat in the end and those head-to-head things. And they just played like a team that were kind of...
But they played like Arsenal.
Yeah.
I guess that's the problem. You know, I accept the point that you can't watch Arsenal play all season and then roll in for the Champions League final and get annoyed when they start playing like Arsenal. Like, that's... it's a bit unfair on Arsenal to be criticised for being Arsenal.
And what's the fullest form of Arsenal? Arsenal being 1-0 up early.
I wonder what they would have, how they would have played if they hadn't gone one. Like, I wonder how different it would have been. Because, if you think about even the nature of that goal and the sort of like the freakishness of the opportunity, that's almost the way Arsenal were going to score. But would they have been any less ambitious if it was 0-0? You know, they didn't change their approach really at any stage. So I don't see how this whole idea that they scored too early. Obviously, it set them into that position. But I think that was pretty much. Getting to penalties was probably what they were thinking about all along.
Yeah, I think they thought to themselves as soon as they went 1-0 up, Paris Saint-Germain now need to score twice for our objective to be in tatters, as opposed to just scoring once and equalising. I think taking the game to extra time and penalties would have been fine, because they looked at their squad strength and they looked at all the bodies they had back after, you know, a few injuries in the middle of the season, and they looked at Paris Saint-Germain's bench, and maybe they fancied themselves over the course of 120 minutes. Which I suppose that the counterpoint to that is that Arsenal play close to 60 games all season. They've had to grind out their domestic league in a much tougher way than Paris Saint-Germain. So maybe that's not the way they were thinking at all, but it's maybe one theory you could advance. Michael's been in touch to say, lads, Arsenal would have been the dullest winners since Stawa back in 1986. They literally played for Penos, plus they had an easy route to the final. The fact that you remember Stawa from 86 would suggest that they were a memorable team, Michael.
You know, there is a memory, there is a sort of a certain kind of, you do strike, stand out. If you actually can just grind things. Like Ireland-Egypt in 1990, nobody forgets that game.
Exactly. Were there, humble brag, I was at the game. Was there anybody throwing pens in the TNT studio or TNT pitch side?
TNT were so pro-Arsenal as they've...
I'll tell you who did like it. Kenny Cunningham really loved it, no surprise. But like you say, this Arsenal team, like, it's Mikel Arteta Arsenal Mark II, because he changed his style. What was it, about a season and a half in? It was that famous Man City game where he said, "Right, we're locking it down here. We're not going to we're going to play defensively." This Arsenal team has progressed under Mikel Arteta, but progressed negatively in terms of the style of play, because they were but they were an attacking team when he came in there first, and they played a different style of football, but that's evolved into a very negative style. Josh Kroenke revealed in that chat that has been put out over the weekend, as he came out to take his flowers as the team started getting lots of success, that Arteta's gone over watching American sports, taking, you know, certain little tidbits from, you know, NFL and basketball, which is completely... I just find it depressing, to be honest with you.
Why is that depressing?
Well, because American sport is crap.
Why is everything
American,
that...
Like, I'm sorry, but American sport is crap. NFL is crap, okay? Sorry, basketball is good. I've played basketball, enjoyed basketball. But just to add to that as well, like, you even think of the great...
Some of my best friends are basketball players.
You even think of the great Barcelona team under Pep Guardiola, arguably, you know, it was the greatest team of the Champions League era, possibly even of the whole European Cup going back decades. And even their finals were pretty dour, you know, against Manchester United. They weren't great finals.
No, I don't know.
They were really good in
2009, 2011 were good finals.
11, they
were
amazing.
Yeah, 11 was amazing.
Yeah, yeah, but...
That was a great final.
I don't know if you'd say it was... It certainly wasn't... They've played better matches before those finals.
Yeah, no, definitely, but they were... But,
you know?
But they, yeah.
But they don't produce the same kind of... Because it is a final, there's a lot more on the line. It's more tense, it's more edgy. But look, this Arsenal team, like if this is the way Guardiola does intend to carry on and just, you know...
Arteta
continues to carry on and evolving this team, like it's not good, really.
But the thing I thought about that Kroenke stuff was, again, like this sort of wide-eyed, this guy's amazing, like amazing, he's watching American sports, he's taking ideas, but people have been doing that for years. Pep Guardiola took a load of stuff from basketball.
Yeah.
Like, and people have been watching
it. Basketball's a good one.
Yeah. But they've been looking at this and thinking about, okay, there must be, like, this isn't an original new idea. And it kind of shows a kind of ludicrousness on Kroenke's part that he's sitting there thinking, my God, this guy's a genius. He's watching another sport thinking there might be something in this for me.
Cross-pollination.
It is
obviously ridiculous that he had such a prominent part in the media rounds of Arsenal's Premier League title celebrations. But like, I just find it so interesting that you know, whenever Arteta does something like that or Arsenal kind of make a move to become more defensive or whatever, it's automatically associated with, you know, just a bad thing, a bad, you know, moment for football, as if the entire sport is being dragged to a low point. When, like, from Arsenal's perspective, he has taken them to their highest point in the last 20 years. Like, just because one team is doing things that you deem to be negative doesn't mean that the entire sport needs to be affected by it. And well, those two clashes on Saturday, I thought was fascinating.
Well, it is affected by it because, you know, forget whatever about the Champions League, it's affected by the fact that Arsenal are Premier League champions and the way they won the league. And it speaks, and again, Arsenal are perfectly entitled to do this, and Arsenal fans don't need to get defensive. Like, Arsenal fans have to accept that they aren't Barcelona. They aren't playing with, you know, and they're
who is saying that?
No, nobody said no, but to get defensive about people criticizing for how they play is kind of suggesting, no, there's something in this that you're missing. There isn't. Like, there is a certain style that Arsenal are playing, and it is a style that has capitalized not just on the changing nature of English football, but the changing rhythm of English football in terms of the insertion of VAR as a stop start mechanism in the game. And Arsenal have capitalized on that and brought, you know, slowed everything down, and they've managed this system incredibly well and incredibly smartly. But that's one thing, and you can acknowledge it. You can look at it and say, this is done very effectively. But it can, you know, it can be as you it can leave you cold, and like that's a perfectly legitimate position. And I don't think Arsenal fans can really argue with people who say, actually, and like, they shouldn't argue and they shouldn't care. But like, you know, with people who say, you know, the way Arsenal play football does nothing in terms of creating any sense of excitement or not drama, because there's obviously drama involved in it, but it doesn't. It's not a style of football that you can warm to. It doesn't mean that there isn't a merit in it, and there isn't that those scenes when they win the Premier League, and there is this sense of a great club kind of, you know, and all its, you know, all the kind of, you know, we've talked about this on all the supporters across, you know, the world and in London, how massively supported it is. and always has been. You know, it just happens that there also seems to have been accompanied by some of, you know, some terrible people deciding to become Arsenal fans in the most in the last
and allowed onto the pitch.
Yeah, but not even I'm not even talking about the, you know, just everywhere it seems that there are people now saying I'm an Arsenal fan, and
they wouldn't be doing that, Dion, if the football was as abhorrent as your opinion.
They don't know anything about football.
Yeah. But it's also the killing of time, like they you know.
What's wrong with killing a bit of time? You know, we do it all the time. Yeah, people are listening to this show trying to kill a bit of time, Steve-o.
Kids watching the kids. There's only thinking of the children.
Like
I had a 3-year-old going on 4-year-old. I said, great, 5 o'clock kickoff. He can stay up and watch the game. Like, you know, and he was spent the 90 minutes shouting, come on, Bows, all the way through it after their 3-1 win on Friday night. But, you know, I mean, you know, we see 4 goals in the match the night before, and he got to see 2, plus all this time wasting around throw-ins and set pieces. And an Arsenal team that eventually became like a six. They were a 6-4 formation at one point. There was Trossard playing as a left wing back, in with the back four, and then Odegaard in between the right back and the centre back. Like it was a 6-4 formation. You're kind of going, this just isn't. I'm not saying this isn't how the game should be played, but there are better ways of doing this.
But again, know? That's that you know. Like the caller who brings up Steaua Bucharest, like that is in the tradition of European Cup finals too. And if they'd held out, a 1-0 win playing like that would have been a classic kind of way of winning the Champions League. But I agree with you. Like it's terrible to watch, there is some satisfaction in the fact that they didn't pull it off.
Big reaction coming in on this. 0879 180 180 is our number.
Arsenal fans all saying, yeah, fair enough.
TC in Dublin says,
you got us banged to rights.
Lads, have Arsenal become the first team to go unbeaten in a Champions League season and not win the tournament? Saturday's game officially goes into the record books as a draw. Yeah. Ben says the answer to this is yes. Patrick says, I thought it was a crap final. When Gabriel stepped up to take the final penalty, I thought he was going to try a diving header. Declan in Dublin 8 says, good evening all. As a former Barcelona and Arsenal player under Arsene Wenger and assistant to Pep, who on earth has Mikel Arteta been influenced by? I think the game that Steve-O referenced last year when 10-man Arsenal tried to park the bus against Manchester City to grind out a win in those circumstances. I think that was the moment when, you know, Anakin Skywalker became Darth Vader. Steve, do you want to bring us the first story tonight in the news round? You're going to start with Gaelic Games.
Yes, indeed. GA President Jarlath Burns has been speaking about the possibility of changing the timing of the championship draws. It, of course, has become an issue for players and managers with regard to planning for matches and trips, not to mention supporters. And in the last half an hour, another layer has been added to this story. Now, this is the stage, of course, when the matches get really serious on. Some even call it the business end, not me. So the losing teams in round 2B crash out and won't be seen until the second half of next winter. Kildare will host the defending champions Kerry in Newbridge as both sides look to avoid an early exit from the 2026 edition. Elsewhere, Connacht Kings Roscommon will travel to Monaghan, Derry host Meath and Dublin on our way to Cavan. The winners of those ties will then play the losers in 2A, where Cork have been handed a long trip to Donegal, while Leinster champions Westmeath go to Galway. Tyrone will entertain Mayo and Armagh are away to Louth. Those second round matches will be played over the weekend of June 13th and 14th. Now, the latest news in the last hour is that the CCCC won't be releasing the fixture details for those ties until tomorrow, which will further delay the planning process for managers and county boards. As you know, the RTE programme Morning Ireland has been hosting draws on a Monday, which has already led to some complaints from the above. With this week being a bank holiday, it meant the draw for round 2 of this year's championship was made 2 days after the pots for the draw were confirmed. Now, off the balls, Tommy Rooney spoke to the GA president about the draw timing issue at the series launch in Trim today. And there's also some big news from the Mayo footballing stronghold, Bacon.
There are some people, I know you've explained it before, or possibly addressed it before, but there are probably people wondering why the draw couldn't be made on a Sunday after the last game of the round 8, to give that extra day or two.
Yeah, on the Sunday game, let's say, or whatever, yeah. Well, again, if County say they would prefer it, then there's no issue. The reason why it's in Morning Ireland, 500,000 people tune into that every morning. It's a massive, massive programme. If you saw this morning, we were able to locate ourselves in Athlone where the three counties meet, as I said, Longford, Westmeath and Roscommon, and each of those three counties have a story to tell. It's going to come, fun fact, it might very well be coming from Bacon next week, because big news from Bacon this week. The last one is actually coming from my own club, Silverbridge, because it'll be my last ever one. Give us an opportunity to go out to clubs. Give us an opportunity to, you know, Sunday games about the games that have just happened. There isn't as big an audience for that as there would be on the Monday. I know there was a Tuesday this time, Tommy, because of the bank holiday. But Morning Ireland has a massive, massive listenership. People go into work. It becomes the talk of the day. And we get an extra day out of that. It's really what it is.
Okay, so as mentioned there, the CCCC are going to announce fixture details tomorrow, which is later than people expected. Our own Tommy Rooney said that his understanding is that the delay is due to various logistical issues around a venue for Louth versus Armagh, with Inishkeen being the preference. Now, I'm not quite sure what the capacity of Inishkeen is versus the season ticket holders for Louth and for Armagh, but it might be safe to assume that not everybody will be able to be accommodated, and there might be a push to get that game played in a bigger venue. And I presume there'll be a push back from Louth, who will want the game played in Inishkeen. So are we heading into a Newbridge or nowhere situation once again with that fixture? Well, we'll see tomorrow when the fixtures are announced. Steve-O, we're moving on to the World Cup, and there's another League of Ireland prospect, or League of Ireland player, in fact, announced for the squads.
St. Patrick's Athletic goalkeeper Joe Anang has been called up to represent Ghana at this summer's World Cup. It's the first time in the Dublin club's history they'll have a player represented at the tournament. Anang won his first and only cap so far for Ghana last November in a friendly match against Japan. He'll be vying with Lawrence Attisigi of Swiss Super League club St. Gallen and Benjamin Assar, who plays for Accra Hearts of Oak in the Ghana Premier League. He joins, of course, the Shamrock Rovers captain Roberto Lopez in being involved in a World Cup squad.
Owen has been in touch to say the 98 team that Wenger managed had a great defence but also a very creative midfield and great strikers, and he blended it all to play very great football. And even though I'm a Liverpool fan, I loved watching that side as well. And Martin says, I can't believe no one in the media has called Arsenal style Pulis ball, as I'm sure it's pure Tony Pulis. Physical, keep it tight, get a set piece goal and win 1-0. Pulis is Arteta's hero, not Guardiola. For your information, Martin, Kai Havertz scored from open play on a Saturday. No set pieces needed there to take the game the full 120 minutes. What's next, Steve-O?
Yes, Louth Monaghan 2024, wasn't it? Inishkeen. I was trying to think of the match in the championship that was played there before. Anyway, yes, moving on to Bohemians captain Dawson Devoy, who said that his family have been full of pride after he was called up by head coach Hamer Hallgrimsson. The midfielder will be hoping to earn a first senior Ireland cap in the friendly match against Canada in Montreal on Friday. Devoy came through at Bowes, where he returned over a year ago after a spell in the UK. He's played a huge part in the club, getting back up to second place in the Premier Division this season. The former under 20 international hopes to take that form into the week and is intent on getting a senior cap.
Obviously that has to be the aim, you know, obviously coming in for the week, trying to train as best I can, show what I'm about, and then whatever happens Friday happens. But yeah, once I'm giving myself that opportunity, that's all I can do really. Yeah. It's something that you dream about as a kid, and to be involved now and have that opportunity is just something that fills me with a lot of pride. And my family is really proud as well, so it's really nice. Yeah,
we have some news from the women's side of things as well.
Yeah, the Republic of Ireland squad are training at Fota Island ahead of their final two matches of the 2027 World Cup qualifying group. First up for Carla Ward's side is the visit of the Netherlands to Parky Cueve on Friday. We'll be down there ourselves for full live commentary of that match on Off the Ball. The Dutch will be without their star striker Vivian Maidema, but Denise O'Sullivan and Emily Murphy, of course, unavailable for Ireland through suspension.
Now then, on to Kenny Dalglish.
Yes, the Liverpool legend has revealed he's currently undergoing treatment for cancer. He had planned to keep the news private, but confirmed it after accidentally sharing it in a social media post. The former striker and manager of the Merseysiders added in a statement in his own unique dry style, "Unlike my mobile phone use, the treatment is going well." Dalglish scored 167 goals and 320 appearances for Celtic before going on to make 515 appearances for Liverpool, where he won over 30 trophies as player and manager. Now, following that news, we've since learned that the former Liverpool winger John Barnes has had his prostate removed with surgery after cancer diagnosis. He made the revelation on Times Radio and told listeners it was to raise awareness, saying that people need to come forward. This all coming a day after the former England and Newcastle manager Kevin Keegan revealed he has stage 4 cancer. Liverpool, of course, signed Dalglish to replace Keegan after he departed for Hamburg. The two-time European Footballer of the Year is now 75 and told the Daily Mail he's working with a top doctor who has a new way of fighting the cancer he is dealing with.
Yeah, brutal couple of pieces of news there in the last 24 hours. On matters more trivial, we have a departure in the Premier League managerial stakes.
Yeah, Fulham confirming that Marcos Silva has left the club after 5 seasons in charge. It's reported the Portuguese is returning home and has agreed a 3-year deal plus an optional year until 2029 to become Jose Mourinho's replacement at Benfica. The Lisbon club finished third last season behind Sporting and champions Porto. Silva won the English Championship in his first season with Fulham in the 21-22 campaign before establishing the West Londoners as a top flight outfit. Fulham owner Shahid Khan revealed the club has prepared for Silva's departure and he'll replace him soon. Meanwhile, it's reported Liverpool are in advanced talks with the former Bournemouth boss Andoni Iraola. He left the Cherries at the end of the last season after 3 seasons in charge. The former Rayo Vallecano manager is described as someone who'll fit to Liverpool's preferred playing style, which is to deliver front foot aggressive football. The hiring process at Anfield has been led by Richard Hughes, Liverpool's sporting director, who previously worked with Iraola at Bournemouth.
Mick in Cork has been in touch to say, be careful, Owen. Arsenal must play a way everyone wants them to be considered successful. What waffle? Mourinho won 2 titles in a similar way and was considered a genius. Arsenal will progress and go to the next level this summer with changes in attack.
Well, we'll see. I think actually Chelsea were probably more attacking under Mourinho than Arsenal were. They were certainly more dynamic when they had Robin and Duff.
He got a bit of criticism as well, didn't he?
He did get a bit of criticism, but I don't think it was as relentlessly negative as Arsenal.
Did Mourinho not just have a much better squad than Arteta has now?
But Arteta's got a good squad.
A good squad.
Just in the Premier League, though.
Yeah, yeah.
It can't be both things.
But
you absolutely can win the Premier League with a squad that's worse than another squad that's won the Premier League. But like, they're not all the same standard.
No.
I'm
not saying that, but I'm saying, so you're saying that this is a lower standard Premier League they've won in general?
I think the Chelsea team that won the Premier League is a better collection of players than the one that won it this year with Arsenal, yeah.
Right. Okay.
Jose's first year.
I think that's fair enough.
Yeah, that, okay.
But I'm just...
What's the point in that, though? What's...
It's possible for him... to play more progressive football.
Well,
with the bunch of players that Arteta has.
He's not making do here. It's not mend and make do with these players. They've bought in a very specific caliber of players. He spent a lot of money. Like, this has been it's over hundreds and hundreds of millions of pounds to assemble the squad. It's been assembled for a purpose. As you're saying, like, he's been there for 5 years. Like, this is his squad. He's made this.
Yeah,
I don't think it's unfair. Like, Mourinho came in first season, whatever, we're literally living in the past. That was the first season he came in and they got 90 odd points, broke the points record or whatever, 95 points. That's not like for like. And it can be a better squad, but this is the squad Arteta's built. He's not been handed it.
No matter what players Arteta has, this will be the way he plays.
You
should do a combined 11.
Actually, that's the one thing.
That'll finish it off. That'll seal the argument.
I'm not sure how terminally online you are. Like, if you're on my level, but every single Instagram post on Friday and Saturday, it was just constantly Safanov Araya. You scroll out and Safanov Araya. It's like, how many more former UEFA Champions League legends can I watch picking their combined 11? They all picked David Raya, by the way, and that's the main trophy that was won over the course of the weekend. There might have been one Safanov in there. Give us one last story, Steve-O.
Yeah, I know you're going to be chatting to Matt Williams in a short few minutes, but just on one of the, that's going to be on a general Leinster chat. Of course, the James Lowe story is kind of hanging over Leinster over the next couple of weeks, and his future. Now, Alan Quinlan was on Off the Ball Breakfast this morning. Says it's time for the IRFU to step in. Lowe scored his 70th and 71st tries, become the province's all-time try scorer on the occasion of his 100th appearance in the ORC quarterfinal win against the Lions. Head coach Leo Cullen coy in his future with Leinster when asked about it after the game. He's out of contract at the end of term. There's been speculation about a move overseas. We know Ireland head coach Andy Farrell would like him to remain in Ireland. Quinlan spoke about the difficult spot it leaves Leinster in this morning.
The IRFU have got to step in here because it is, to be fair to Leinster, you're asking Leinster to pay a big salary here and maybe impinges a little bit on their budget as regards to bring through a couple of younger players and fully contract them. So there's argument for both sides. Mm. And the impasse that's there at the moment is a bit frustrating. And again, it's a kind of a negative one that they don't need.
Stephen Doyle, thank you very much for this evening's News Round. Ian, we'll chat to you later on. Arthur, thanks very much.
The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.